Hey listeners, it's Nick from Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company. I want to invite you to try something new. Here at Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company, we have a bold and slow-roasted coffee that is 100% organic and ethically sourced. There are no pesticides or fungicides from the plantations we import our coffee from, and it's all single-sourced too. We have light, medium, and dark roast. Even decaf coffee as well to satisfy whatever kind of coffee you drink. We also have a variety of flavor coffees for you to try, including our hazelnut and apple pie flavor coffees, which are both big sellers. You can order our coffee at www.kevlarjoes.com. You can also follow us at Facebook, Instagram, or X for Kevlar Joe news, deals, and your daily dose of coffee-related memes, so make sure to like and follow our pages. And I'll leave you with this, listener. The world isn't a safe place right now, and it seems like it's always teetering on the edge. But don't forget, like it says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So be bold, be humble, and be Kevlar.
My name is L.A. Margioli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long-distance pals?
We are back. That's the best I got in me. Without Ben, I just can't do it. I'm telling you, every time.
I'm telling you, Ben's a part-timer. We're going to have to crack the whip on him.
Ben just goes to bed early. That's his problem. But anyway, I'm excited. Today's a good day. Anything new for you?
No. Groundhog Day. Every day. Go to work.
What it feels like.
Come home. If I'm lucky, I get to have a good conversation before bed.
I go to so many soccer games a week that I think I might have a couple kids I didn't even know about. That's just how it feels. And I'm just kidding, obviously. You know what I'm saying? I only got two, but it's just, we just feel like we're always going to soccer game after soccer game after soccer game after practice after another game. That's just what it is. That's what our life entails for at least the next month. So,
yeah, you got two boys playing the same sport too. So,
And it always happens on opposite days. So it takes every night of the week, but there's nothing better than watching them play. Nothing better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up playing basketball. Basketball is my sport, and I'm the one that put the ball in Jackson's hand, and I get so much enjoyment out of watching him play, especially when he's younger. You know, you get to teach him stuff and watch him go, and I don't know, just makes a man feel good, you know. But now he's getting older, and he's playing high school ball. Now he's like, I don't know if I'll play next year, Dad. It's interfering with social life. And I'm like, man, don't quit. That was one of my biggest regrets in life. But you got to let them make their own mistakes, you know.
No doubt. Well, you want to kick us off with some prayer today?
Yeah, sure. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, because all those blessings we do not deserve. We just pray that the Holy Ghost and Spirit just wraps his arms around us in this conversation today and guides this conversation. And we pray that you bless this brother and sister in their ministry as they go forward and do the things that you have planned for them and laid out for them. We just pray that you strengthen them and embolden their steps and guide their steps, Father. And that's it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today I am really excited. We have a couple of people that we just met at the conference, the Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies, when we were down in Dallas.
Well, you just met. I've known Ricky and Shelly a while now.
I'm sorry. You are That's true. I just met. Anyway, we both met in person for the first time. How about that?
There you go.
Does that make sense? Well, I'm super excited to have Ricky and Shelley here from the Christian Theological Dark Web. Hold on. Dark Web. There it is. I absolutely love it. I'm excited to have you guys here. Good friends and becoming better friends as we go along. I just love this. I love reaching out and talking to people that are in a very similar space as us, trying to reach as many people. And every time we go to these conferences, I told Justin about this. We talked about it just the other night. We see so many people that are from a generation or two before us. We don't see a lot of people from our generations. We don't see a lot of people that are hitting the younger audiences, or maybe the more the audiences that are a little more misled, or some of the more fringe audiences, as we say, which brings me kind of into our topic here. But I want you guys to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your show.
All right. Am I going first?
You go ahead, Shelley. You go ahead.
I will go first. Fringe describes us pretty well, but not the weird fringe. You know, I always have to caveat that we're not the weird fringe, but you know what? My friends think we're the weird fringe. I just, you know what you have to do to get through the day. I'm not as weird as I am. Really, we're just as weird as we are. The Christian Theological Dark Web started out really as the answer to the things that are overlooked in the Word of God during church services. And I mean, I get it, because I have a good pastor. As a matter of fact, we'll be sharing some tales. My pastor went with us this past weekend to this Paracon, and let me tell you, he brought probably more value than we did to it. And that's not being gracious. It's being very honest. He really did. But the pastor is very locked into that bell curve teaching, which, you know, when you've spent any time at all really loving our Lord and Savior, that's so unfulfilling. You know, Sunday morning service is just that. It is a service. I go there to be used, not to be fed. Even though, you know what, I get stuff out of it. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I sit there and can't hear from God, because I'm not dead or a rock. So I ought to be getting something from any time the Word of God is preached. But there are all those things that you read in the Bible, and I know you guys know it because we listen to the Dig as well. And we're happy to pick up our shovel, and we know that hole won't get dug by itself. But it's still discouraging to know that there are so many things in the Word that people just overlook, and so much is missed because of it. So we decided we're going to do a podcast, and we're going to talk about the things your pastor doesn't talk about on Sundays. Or maybe some pastors will never talk about it. They don't know.
What did Heiser say? If it's weird, it's important.
It matters. That's right. And we call that the shotgun over the mantle theory. If you see a movie and they show the shotgun over the mantle, you better believe somebody's going to get blasted. You know, I'm your Huckleberry too. But so we began this, and you know, there were times I think we thought, man, will anybody, even our family and friends, listen to this, you know? And God has done weird things. We step out in obedience. He says, do this. And we're like, are you sure you meant this? Okay, we'll do it. And then, like, you know, the I'll open the floodgates of heaven thing that he says in Malachi. Like, he really does that thing. And it's insane. And so Back about October or so, we were finishing up, you know, almost our first year. We began our first year of podcasting on January 1st, 2023. And in October, all of a sudden, people were reaching out to us. Hey, you want to do a crossover? You want to be on our podcast? We'll be on yours. You want to interview me? And we were like, well, yeah, all right. You know, sure. Sounds good. And then we got the weirdest invitation from a really great guy, man. He's very interactive on our Facebook and in our socials. Alan, he was like, hey, y'all want to come to the East Texas Paracon? And we were like, yeah, sure.
Not just come, present.
Present. Yeah, you guys want to come speak.
Yep.
There's not like money involved, but we'll get you a hotel room, feed you. And we were like, oh, hey, it's better than I'm getting paid now. You know? And so, yeah, absolutely. And then I don't know about Ricky, but then I went and I looked at what we had said yes to. And I was like, oh, they have tarot card readings and ghost tours.
Let's not get too far ahead now. I want to get into that deep. I want to get into that deep. But why don't we, Ricky, why don't you say your side of the story here, and then we'll bring it all back, because I want to talk about this. I think it's really important.
Shelly's putting words in my mouth here. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth but my own.
That's right. No.
That's okay. We'll pick up right here where I left off. Don't worry. Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Good stuff. Should I start from kind of the beginning from my perspective on how we got here, I guess?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Fair. All right. Fair enough. I've actually talked to Justin about this, you know, previously. That the way I came into this was during, what will we call it? During pokey season. I had a lot of personal confrontations personally. Now, to give you guys background, growing up, I mean, you guys can see this shameless plug for my brother in Christ and awesome pastor, metalhead pastor of Mexico City. He and I are like two birds of a feather, man. Like, we can hang out and talk music and talk life. We just did an interview. I was just telling you guys off camera. We did an interview, or I did an interview with him, like one of the last days of last year, right at the end of December. And from the time we sat down to the time that the camera ran out of battery, we were like going at it, man. And then after we finished, it was like 2 hours. We were at the restaurant. I mean, he was just pouring into my life, like, just, and I was just still asking him questions and like, how can I help you and what can we do? So that's my background. I come from a metalhead background. I come from all that. So I have always been on the fringe, whether I wanted to or not. I did not fit in any modern or mainstream paradigms. I just didn't have access to a lot of the information that I'm dealing with now, or I didn't really understand it. But right around pokey season, I started to question a whole lot of things. I already had my own preconceived notions about, you know, distrust for a lot of different governments or a lot of different ideas or peoples. But when I saw what the world was doing, I went, this is, you know, I like, the Holy Spirit was very clear with me. This is a test run, bro. This is a test run. You know, get your head straight. This is a test run. But out of that, Shelly shared a teaching, a preaching by a pastor, a two-part preaching, and it was about the.
It's funny, how, neither one of us can remember the guy's name. We just describe him as the Kiwi who lives in California.
Kiwi. The California Kiwi. He's a missionary plant in California from Kiwi land, and he was talking about the I want to say it's a sulfur bridge shell that's in the DNA that
he may have, that is the, it is a sulfur bridge.
Yeah. The sulfur bridge in the human DNA that, has Jehovah's, Yahweh's name written on it, which is him written on us. Right. And I started diving into that, and he started getting into patents, and he started getting into when someone writes their, you know, their actual name on you. That's because that's their patent. We are the patent of God, which is why we're image bearers, so on and so forth. And for so many other reasons, right? That teaching took me so far down the rabbit hole. I mean, it sent me reeling. And we're talking, 2020, early 2021, just stuff I had never engaged with, didn't know about. But as soon as I started studying this stuff, as soon as I started understanding, I was like, I'm at home. Like, this makes so much sense. And I did go through a moment, believe me, because this was really like hoisted upon me. Like, I was like, whoa, this is a lot to take in. I didn't grow up, for context, I grew up Church of Christ. If anybody doesn't know what Church of Christ is, it's like stricter than Southern Baptist. I mean, it's like ridiculously strict. And so I was very, trying to get off that beaten, treaded path as much as I could as a kid. So that's kind of my background. And when I was hoisted into this, man, I felt so inadequate. I felt like I couldn't even be relevant I couldn't bring anything to the table at all. And, that's how we really got started. And actually, kind of bringing it up to speed, when we went to this conference 3 weeks ago, man, the Lord dealt with me in some deep, deep ways that I needed to find some peace. I was really insecure about, well, I don't know this, I don't know that. And the Lord was finally just like, here's the deal, bro. If you'll just get out of the way, I will use you. I promise. Just get out of the way, please. So I can use you. Making a long story short. And I swear to you guys, man, I promise you, the moment that the Lord really put that on my heart, and I just left it there, and I left it in his hands and said, okay, no more. This is not a fight that I have to win. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to instantly have all the information. The Lord opened the floodgates for us. I mean, just we started getting donations. We had somebody that's able to work our merch. Looks like we're going to have someone that's going to help us edit. I mean, just God really, really answered in some unbelievable ways. And to tie it into what we're talking about, that Paracon, man, it was like icing on the cake. And Shelly was like, oh, this is awesome. And then she had reservations. No, I was the other way around. I knew exactly what we were getting into. And I was like, yeah, I'm nervous as crap. Let's do it. Let's be obedient. I want to do it, man. and it was well worth it, as we will discuss here shortly. Well,
let's back it up just for a second, because what you're saying is super important. This is something that I think everybody needs to hear, is not one of us felt qualified when we started doing this. Not one of us ever. I don't feel qualified right now. But yeah, look you. At look at the people that Jesus chose as his disciples. Yeah. Look at the people he put out there, a tax collector, somebody who had betrayed his own people.
Yeah,
and he was using him to preach back, fishermen, a very modest profession. The people that he pulled were people that just say, look, get out of your own way. And you know what? It took the disciples 3 years to figure it out. So for us, thinking, that we're in our own way sometimes is not that hard to believe. They got to see those amazing miracles, and yet still they had doubts. Yeah. Still they fell short because they're human. They're just like us. But that's our calling, is to continue what they were doing. And this is our way of doing that. God's put a plan in front of us that none of us would have thought we'd be in these shoes. None of us, I guarantee, for me and Justin, we talk about all the time. You go back 3 years ago, if you told me I was going to be doing a podcast, I'd have laughed at you. And I'm sure you guys probably feel the same way.
I laughed if you go at back you and you brought it up.
You did laugh at me. You're right.
You said, no, it's just a Bible study for some guys.
That's right. But so going into what you guys kind of brought us up to speed now.
Yeah.
We're to the current day. This last weekend, you guys got invited to that East Tennessee Paracon. And I actually pulled up, and I have
Texas.
It on my...
Yeah, I'm Texas sorry. Is much
East you guys are the Texas. TN. You I'm guys sorry. Are the TN, we're the TX. Don't sweat.
Well, alphabetically, we come first.
That's right, you do.
That's true.
But I pulled up the itinerary for this. I have it here. Oh, yeah. And so I was looking...
You're right.
At all the other speakers. And I wanted to see, like, when you talked about it, I looked it up, and we're looking at things like harnessing Earth's energy, UFOs and personal encounters, a spectral visitation. And then you get down to the Christian theological dark web. Aliens, the gods rebranded. And I absolutely love that title. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it fits you into that perspective of what you guys were doing at that conference. Yep. But at the same time, it gives you the window.
Mars Hill.
Gives you that window. Yeah.
You know what? Let me go back in the story a little bit because it's kind of funny.
You got to say, let's back it up.
Let's back it up.
Now you can go. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, wait. Why does she have to say it like that? Is that like the...
That's something that we've had on this show for a while.
Steve is backing up Steve. He always gets ahead of himself. Let me back it up.
Gotcha.
You know, there's something to be said about a tiny bit of foreshadowing and then going back and building up the suspense.
Oh, please.
It's a good way to do a story.
That is the law of Four Dragons. Like, that's the only way to go about doing it. So...
Anywho, I think it was on a Tuesday that we got invited to this thing, right? And we were like, cool.
Really good memory.
Well, it's because on Wednesday, I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna give this as you know, kind of a praise report slash prayer request. Oh, and there's stuff Ricky doesn't even know. I've got some tea to spill. I was nervous when I looked and saw what we said yes to, and I knew God was prompting us because we wouldn't have said yes. You know, the Holy Spirit's prompting was like, you know, when you're in middle school and you like the girl, but you're not going to say anything and your friend shoves you in front of her. It was that.
Let me give a tiny bit of context as well for you guys.
Okay.
We had intentionally in our first year, I felt so strong. I don't know if you felt the same, Shell, but I felt so strongly from the Holy Spirit in our first year. Don't go looking for interviews. Don't go trying to find people that you think are awesome. And believe me, I wanted to. My instinct was to be like, dude, I really want to interview this guy. I really want to talk to this guy. I want to talk to this lady or, you know, whatever. But the Holy Spirit was very, very, like, it just kept being impressed upon me. And so the small amount of interviews that we did, Miguel hardly even counts. He was basically at the end of the year, but really it was just Justin. We spent the entire year figuring our theology out on the podcast. Like we
laying down foundation.
Really well. And linguistic foundation, especially, right? Like we really laid the roadmap. So when we came to a lot of really bizarre, you know, new ideas, we had a solid framework to work with. So that's another reason I mentioned that there, because that's another reason that we were like, yes, absolutely. Let's do it. Let's go. You know, go ahead, Shell. Sorry.
Yeah. Cause God had opened that door. So anyhow, I'm a little bit trepidatious, and I know Ricky was too, cause we were both kind of like, what did we get ourselves into? Okay, God. But I was like, oh, I'm going to do this prayer request, / praise report. On Wednesday night. That's how I remember it was Tuesday, because I had planned, because I have the kind of pastor who puts you on the spot. Who's got a praise report? Oh, Shelley, I know you do. I do. But so now I make sure to plan ahead. So I had this thing. And so I start telling him, Ricky and I got invited to speak at a paracon. And he goes, what? He goes, hold on. Explain to everybody what you're and Ricky, what you guys talk about in your podcast. Give some background so everybody knows. And so I did. And then I was like, and he was like, and what's a paracon? I'm like, it's a paranormal convention. And he's like, that is so cool. I want to go. And I went, yes. That is so cool, because I want you to go. And so he was like, cool, we'll talk about it after church. And like, we set it up. He cleared his calendar for the weekend right then. And it was like, man, I so needed an adult. Now that I've got an adult, I'm good. Let's go on this field trip and knock it out. You know,
security blanket.
Yeah.
And well, so like
more than a security blanket though, like for me, it's like, okay, there's a legit spiritual mantle that's like accompanying on us, because a security blanket, you can suck your thumb and just hang out in your crib. But when you got the mantle, you're like, dude, go forth, and you'll need some legit covering because there's arrows coming from any and everywhere you can think of, you know?
So I am driving home and I'm doing a Marco Polo to Ricky and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm real sorry because I know I should have run this by you first. But so Benny's going with us to the Paracon. I know I should have asked you first, but like, I'm really kind of glad that he's going. It feels right. And then, you know, and then I quit the video to him and I just like worshiped God because I could feel God loving me through this whole process already, you know, saying, it's okay, honey, do what I want you to do. I've got it. Man, just wait, just do it. And then just watch. Yeah. And then Rick didn't see the polo until the next day.
Yeah. I've already gone to sleep.
And then, so he responds to me and he's like, yeah, you really should have run it by me first. But this is confirmation for me. I'm so glad that Benny's going to go. God gave us confirmation. This, when your pastoral
leader
being, man, when did I, why didn't I just
your shepherd?
Pastor? When your pastor,
your shepherd,
you know, backs you up, when you kind of think that they're going to be like, I don't know that you should do, all right, well, you better pray up, you know, or whatever. And that's not what we got. It was, that is so neat. I want to go too.
That's really sad though, that we think that way. Cause we all probably think that way.
It stinks, right?
Because you have 90% to look at this,
of the like, time. It's the truth,
but
it is the truth. Who,
we're supposed to go out and talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's the sick highways that need a doctor, as Jesus said,
well,
right?
Well, and you know what, brother, it's, I mean, for the four of us here in this cyber room at the moment, we all agree on that, right? Like, I don't think there's any discussion or any conflict with that idea. Like, I'm like, dude, yes, absolutely. Let's do it. It's that feeling of, man, I really hope that people that really should be doing this are going to get on board with it because they're the ones that they're really the ones like those people. We need their support. I hope that they get on board with it because I know I have to do it. I know it's the right thing to do. And I know that it's what the Lord is telling me to do. Right.
Well, and it's weird because one of our friends, she was like, you guys are my missionaries. Yes. I'm going to give you money and you guys are going to go. But I'm sending you like missionaries. And I was like, well, that's cool because, you know, we look at this as our ministry. And then a different follower, man, I hate saying follower. It feels so culty to me. But, you know, somebody follows our podcast and they've been very active and encouraging. Miss Roseanne, her and her husband just like encouraged us so much and made us their missionaries for their church this year. You know, we are their missions that they gave to. And and that's, it's like incredibly humbling and such an honor. And also so crazy because, I mean, it is a missions. You, you know, we are going out. We share the gospel. That is first and foremost what matters the most. Man, hashtag Jesus. It's hard still to wrap my head around how God is moving this, like, He is the engine. He's not just the fuel. He is the engine in this. And and it's like we move forward and I'm like, how did we move and not crash? And it's because God is doing it all. And it's so crazy. But so we started talking about, well, what are we going to talk about? You know, and they want us to talk about the Nephilim. Everybody always wants us to talk about the Nephilim. It's cool. You know, I get it and I get why. And okay, we can do that. And then Ricky was like, man, I really, want to do this t-shirt, and it's really cool looking, and it says Aliens, the God Rebranded, and the Gods Rebranded. And he was like, I really think that's what we should talk about. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, it's there. And this is part of the great deception. And, you know, people are like, why do Nephilim matter? Why are you worried about, an alien deception? You know, and I'm like, oh, well, let's talk about this. Once upon a time.
Hold on. Back it up.
Once upon a time, there was God, and he decided, I want a family. Well, you know, every good story. So he made a family, and his older children did inappropriate things to and with the younger children. Huh. And he had to kind of come through and wipe out all that mess that they had made via a worldwide flood. And those bad older children were locked away in Tartarus. But the ones that weren't doing that particular bad thing still get to have power here. And they're doing other bad things and rebranding themselves as something that they're not, so that we'll buy into the apple tastes good, you know, because it's worked before.
It's a pretty genius plan, actually, you know, without wanting to give them too much credit. But frankly, stripping away the conventional means of understanding the world, making it cold and calculated, turning it, I mean, like really shifting the world's focus with the Industrial Revolution, bringing us to this ironclad curtain that teaches us that everything is nothing but facts and stoicism, and any semblance of spirituality has to be a Gnostic sense of spirituality where everything's floaty and, you know, doesn't really have any solid foundation. And then coming in and saying, yeah, we are beings from another dimension or planet, or, you know, however the story decides to roll itself out according to our limited understanding and frame of reference, right? With this new created frame of reference that for what, two centuries now has been rolled out and people believe and buy and repackage and spit back out, right? It just made a lot of sense, man. I mean, people are hungry. They are desperately hungry to understand what is happening. And I've heard, and I mean, and this is just kind of going back to why we chose this. And I even told Shell, like, as we were preparing, I was like, Shell, I think we should write a book about this. I really do. Because everybody talks about aliens, and everybody talks about the gods, and everybody talks about Nephilim, but nobody ever like writes the story. What's the game plan? Like, what's the end game? And there is an end game. I mean, I think that we all agree with that, but nobody writes about it. Nobody tries to lay it out, you know.
Just sew it up. They do the parts, right? Correct. Here's this part of it and this part of it, and we need something to sew the shirt together, so to speak.
But this and this goes back. I mean, so far back when you talk about the star gods, all the, you know, we go on to this forever. This could be a 12-hour conversation.
For real.
Diving into the, ideas. And yeah, but there's so much there in the similarities and why are all the high places always holy? Why are the pyramids everywhere?
Yes.
You know, why are all these connections in different parts of the world? And you look at
they
biblically,
line up with the same stars and right. Well,
yes. But look at the, go back to, you know, the Israelites being warned not to sacrifice their children to Molech, right? And we see this if you look at, and you're obviously, you probably have a lot of Mexican history that you understand. And I think of the Temple of Teotihuacan, I think it was called. I don't know.
Teotihuacan, Tenochtitlan.
Not. Maybe that the second one.
Tenochtitlan?
Yes. That
Tenochtitlan was the city, yeah.
When they consecrated the temple there, 84,000 people were sacrificed in 4 days. And we think that people are doing this just because they think it's a good idea.
Right.
Not because there's a deity that they see, that they understand. And if you go back to the Bible times, you know that they see this, and 5 minutes later, right, the Israelites are falling away, even though they saw what God did. They're falling away because they're seeing these gods do
because
these
it's
things.
Real. It's like very Nebuchadnezzar, wild. And this is one of my favorite examples. But the three Hebrew kids in the fire, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Get down, Kat. King, good old Nebi says, "Hey, how?" Didn't we throw three guys in the furnace? And they're like, "Yes, my lord, of course, it was only three." And he's like, "Well, there's four now. Dude, and one of them looks like a god." And we're just like, we trundle right past that. And we're like, "Oh, there's going to be somebody in the fire with me in the flames. And when I walk through the water, he'll be there." And that's all great. And I mean, that's true. And I'm very glad I don't have to go through the fires or the waters alone.
No, but what you know that they mean, Shell, is the problem, right? They mean in a super figurative, metaphorical, ethereal, I'm going through problems kind of sense. They don't mean there are physical obstacles that I cannot overcome and I need God to intervene.
Well, everyone battles their own giants, right?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Gosh, see, that kills
exactly. Me too.
No, I mean, you don't.
But I'm like, wait, why did Nebuchadnezzar say that one looks like a god? He didn't say that one looks like an elephant. He didn't say that one looks like a Phoenician. He didn't say that one looks like a Greek person. He said that one looks like a god. Mm-hmm. He saw gods. He visibly knew how to recognize them the same way I can look at somebody and say, that looks like a Jamaican.
Right.
Or that looks like a BMW. You know, I know what a BMW looks like. So I can say, hey, that looks like a BMW. I'm not pulling something out of the air.
Here the point is precisely that there are characteristics, right? And for there to be characteristics that are recognizable, there has to be a cultural conscience for that to even exist, right? Because why even say it if people don't understand it? Why would you even mention it if people don't know what you're talking about? It's like if I said, "Oh, look, there's a gorilla globule." Everybody's like, "Oh, I don't know what the heck that is." Well, that's the way that people reading the Bible think that Nebuchadnezzar was talking. "Oh, look at the gorilla globule." Well, what is that? No, it's a god. There's a context for it, right? There's an understanding, and there's a closeness with it culturally.
Or like context, what Justin was saying, right? Yep. Context is king, absolutely. But what Justin was saying, everybody has their giants to battle. Yeah, well, Goliath was a real giant. He wasn't a tall dude in a society of short dudes. He was a giant around human warriors. They weren't the small dudes. They weren't a bunch of pygmies. They were the warrior elite of the king of Israel. They weren't schmucks.
Yeah, and Saul, that's one thing too a lot of people look over, is you had all these Nephilim giant kings and all these surrounding nations. And it says specifically in 2 Samuel that Saul was picked for his stature.
Yep.
He was head and shoulders taller than every Jew. And it said they wanted a king like the other nations. They wanted a big, giant, mammoth of a man, warrior king like the other nations. And Saul was so terrified in front of, a valley full of people, was challenged to come out and face Goliath and refused. So this shows you, if this man was head and shoulders taller than all of his people, was picked because of his warrior and his status and his size, and in front of, these thousands of other men, his men, and refused to go out and face this man, that should show you the size and stature of this Goliath.
Absolutely. And his shield bearer. Or his armor bearer, I think, is what the word calls him.
All right, quick theory on this. Now, we talk about it, and, you know, they have the songs like you were talking about, you know, they all have their giants, you know, there's somebody in the fire standing next to me, you know, all those things. I actually think more that when we look at the things biblically and we look about the fiery furnace and the faith they had to go through these things, that they would do that for God, that it's not just necessarily just showing us, look, God's there for you on a metaphorical level. I think they're prepping us for the future and the upcoming persecution of the Christian church.
Certainly.
And I think that we have to understand that, that things for us, you know, in this country, we are so blind to the truth of what's going on around the world. But when it finally hits us, you're going to have a choice to make.
Yep.
You're going to have a choice to make.
Licking something to see if it's real or not, that we miss reality all the time.
You know, we're soft. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We are really, really soft. I know, I think both you guys have been out of the country before. I mean, I have lived out of the country. I have lived in a big, aggressive, ugly city. Like, it ain't paradise, man. It's rough, you know, and I didn't even live in one of the roughest places in the world, but it's rough. Like, life outside of this place is rough. And I can only, in a minute fashion, you know, really think about how the rest of the world, you know, in really, really poor places and really rough places actually lives. It's not a tea party. Sorry, Shel, go ahead.
No, you're good. I know we've rabbit trailed a little bit, but I'm going to go just a few steps still off the path.
We don't do that at all.
Joel.
Not Olstein, please.
No. Oh gosh. Waste my time.
I literally
time
thought
with that.
That's where she was going.
Further down the rabbit trail is lots of money and wealth beyond your wildest dreams.
Wrong Joel, guys. I am referring to Joel. Why can't I think of his last name? The wine press. Joel Richardson. Gosh.
Richardson?
Joel Richardson.
Yeah.
Has been doing a Bible study through the book of Revelations. For like 3 years, literally verse by verse, and it's pretty stinking amazing. But he this week put out an episode. He was talking about at the very end of the age, right? Jesus comes riding on a white horse. Cue Ricky song.
Jesus riding on a white horse.
Every time.
All right.
Eyes like fire, voice of thunder, sword coming out of his mouth, right? Horse like from heaven, coming down, descending on the Mount of Olives. And what does Revelation tell us? That the whole world came to make war with him. So think about this for a second, because that's an astonishing sight. The master and creator of the universe coming back on a white horse from the sky. We can't even begin to understand the description that John tries to paint for us. And you'd think at that point that the logical reaction of humanity after 7 years of horror would be like, nope, we're done. He wins. It's just every knee can do the bowing and tongue confessing thing right now. But that's not what's going to happen. The whole world is going to fight him. What in tarnation is going through the head of the whole world that even at that moment, they think they have a chance of winning? What deception is
first
mankind going to be
years.
Fed?
Yeah,
first three and a half years.
Aliens show up and say, you know, hey, we're the Cedars. We're the ones here to help you. And there's another race on their way. and they're going to fight you, and but we're going to try to help you. And the ones that show up persecuting and doing all these bad things is God and his angels.
That crappy patriarch, right? Always trying to take away your fun and stomp you down and give you all those rules that you could never follow anyhow.
You shall be his buzzkill.
It truly, that's the thing. That first 3.5 years will be that next golden age where you see that part where they come in and we're walking with the gods again. So they're going to see great things happen. They're going to see unbelievable miracles from the beast. They're going to see this from some of these other angelic beings, the other gods that are here on earth. They're going to come down. They're going to do amazing things, and they're going to pull. And it even says that God will send a great deception.
Right.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is gonna blow people away to the point where they're gonna be like, yeah, these guys are legit.
Yeah, because the word says, if it's possible, even the very elect will be deceived. That's not like Joe Schmo. That's the ones who spend our lives searching for the truths of God.
Yeah.
And this right here, I've been listening to a lot of Graham Hancock and stuff, and he references this book here, and I don't know if you can see it or not. But
the cosmic serpent.
You
were talking about this.
Yeah, and it's got the DNA strand on it.
Yeah.
Listen to the audiobook. The audiobook was great, so I had to have the hard copy for references and highlighting. But in that book, Darby talks about he goes down and starts drinking this ayahuasca. And he documents all of his hallucinations and starts interviewing other people, too. And without fail, everyone has encounters with this cosmic serpent without fail.
Yep.
And he said, as he went through, he had this shaman like leading him. And this was a span of, you know, a couple years. And this serpent kept revealing itself more and more, you know, inching him in, revealing more things to him. And in the end, he says that this serpent basically tells him that they're the cosmic cedars and that they were fleeing persecution, basically came to this planet and seeded and advanced in evolution mankind. And that the secret of all civilization, enlightenment, all this stuff is encoded in your DNA, in this DNA strand. And through these hallucinogens is how you access the true knowledge and the secret of life and all this thing that the serpent, literally the serpent seed, is nested and hidden within the DNA for you to unlock through your unconsciousness through these drugs. And that's exactly what the Bible tells you. And that's what First Enoch tells you, because one of the first things they done was taught you what? The cutting of roots.
Right. Yeah. The pharmakia. You know what?
Became familiar with plants.
Right.
That's what it says. Became familiar with plants.
Yeah. Like, God knew what a tree was. I'm telling you, God,
like Adam became familiar with Eve.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the thing too is that the only way we all know, right? The only way that the Hasatan can do anything is by manipulating matter that already exists. There's not a thing that he can create that he can offer us and we could be convinced by. He has to use what he has at his disposal. So he figures, okay, I know the truth. If I can twist it just enough to work it in my favor, then they'll take it hook, line, and sinker, man. They're not even going to think twice about it. They'll eat this stuff up like it's candy. And just what you're telling, man, it, like, we have a phrase in Spanish, tómalo de quien viene, which literally means take it from who it comes. So if I tell you that the Watchers are telling you what you just said, and you're like, well, yeah, of course, obviously, man, these poor abused creatures that come with this divine purpose, with this perfect will, this that they desire to for us to reach the enhanced enlightened state that we were designed for,
and then that Yahweh, and then God, you have the giving other, them all the grief.
Yeah, yeah, What a jerk. He's persecuted. I mean, that word is amazing. We were being persecuted and had to flee. What an amazing picture paint. I mean, it's like listening to a lawyer, bro. Like, paint the same picture in a different light. Dude, we had to flee for our lives. Did you see what happened?
You see, because he was trying to reestablish the patriarchy that we're just starting, you know, to get out from under. And you look at everything that they're throwing at us right now, as far as programming goes worldwide. And it is that the patriarchy, I am sitting here with three of the worst human beings on the planet right now. You know, you horrible white men who have all the privilege and trying to keep us
dominating
down.
All society.
You know, blah, blah,
yo,
blah.
Yo no hablo English.
But like you can see this. And I remember... Justin, when we did our first episode with you and we talked about Nimrod beginning to become a Gabor, and when I saw the picture of that DNA on that book right there, that's the key. That's how he began to become a Gabor. It's how he went from being a human to being a mighty man, a different, a man of great renown, a Gabor. It's astonishing.
Between that and the garments too. Right, I remember even told me.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was willing to hear you out, but I thought you were full of it.
You know what? I'm nothing if not honest, and I will always tell people where I'm coming from. You know, I don't know that I can buy what you're selling, but I'm going to listen to you.
make me a good pitch. Maybe I will.
You know what? And the thing is on many things, you could convince me. You know what I mean? There aren't a whole lot of hills that are worth dying on for me, but there are definitely some. And so basically this was the background of what our talk was at this Paracon. And
look at you bringing it full circle.
I was
sitting there thinking,
somewhere.
How are we going to bring this back?
No, I was really going somewhere with all of this.
Steven, this is the path of four dragons.
This is how the four dragon roll.
That's what we do. It's true.
But this, all of this that we've talked about, this is what we wanted to bring there, because the people who were at this particular convention, but I assume most conventions also like this, they believe in power. And they're looking for power. And so all of these other things bring a semblance of power. They bring some power. There's power there. You want to conjure stuff up? There's power there. You're going to pay an awful price, but you will have some power. But when God told us, or said to me, we walk in, we bring the fire, we walk in power. I didn't understand all of what he meant, but it comforted me. We're bringing the fire here and we walk in power. And these people can see the power that we had on. And it was just kind of incredible, because you know how it is when you do an episode. I try to explain to people all the time, we do 120 hours of research for our episodes, and then we talk for 2 hours, and 90% of our research never gets airtime.
Never sees the light of day, right? Yeah. Yeah. Shelly brings up some really cool points, and that is accurate. You know, that same question, man, and I'm going to tie this back to the Paracon, but I don't know why the Holy Spirit's bringing Miguel, you know, on the brain right now. This week, man, he just reached out to me. He's like, dude, I haven't looked at the the interviews. Like, I literally just watched it this week, and it's been out for like a month and a half, I think, or a month. And he's like, man, I didn't even remember this stuff. Like, it blessed my life and this and that. And I obviously went back and listened to it too, you know. One of the things that stuck with me was, and golly, we learned on this this trip for sure. When I asked him, I go, hey, man, so you're a pastor. So obviously you do discipleship. You do all this. Do you guys work in deliverance? And he goes, oh, absolutely. I go, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, how does that play out? He's like, we always want to make it this big theater, you know, this huge production. Oh, this manifesting, bring them in front so that I can deliver them. You know, like that's how we want to treat this thing. He's like, God, it's not necessary. Jesus said, out, peace. You don't got any place here. Later, bye. You know, and they were instantly, right? They had to respond.
Can we go into the pigs?
Yeah.
They were going.
And so, they made more of a spiel than Jesus did. Jesus was very frank about it. No. I think I need the business here. And so I asked him, you know, like, what is, you know, how does that work? You guys are out in the middle of an open air market. Like, what the heck, dude? And he was like, well, we'll literally be ministering to people. And sometimes they'll be in front of the booth, like even like not right in front of the booth, there'll be some space away, and they'll just like fall to their knees, like sobbing, and like just receive deliverance, like right there, right in the middle of an open air market. They just get delivered, you know? And I was kind of blown away. I was like, wow, that's really freaking cool. And I mean, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, probably should take me back to when Paul is walking through, you know, the town, and this chick won't shut up, and he's like, enough, you know, and he's right in the middle of the market. And I said, well, how do the people react? What's their reaction? I swear to you guys, this is the coolest response I've ever heard any pastor say about anything like this. He goes, oh no, man, there's mad respect. I go, really? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, everybody is very like, whoa, that's.
Cause it's legit, power.
Exactly. Because he goes, that's exactly what he said. He goes, because they may be playing for the other team, but they recognize that there's power with what we're doing. And he goes, there's an absolute, like, because when we first started, it was different. They didn't want to accept us. They didn't want to let us in and everything. But now that they see that we run with legit power, like there's mad respect for us. They have intense respect for what we do. And they've made friendships because of it. In fact, like, you know, people respect them. Like they have a seat at the table now that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And I think that, frankly, that is the same thing that we were looking for. We just want to be allowed to share with people. You know, they don't have to agree. I'm not looking for people to agree with me. That's fine.
I don't need your vote. In fact, yeah.
Yeah. We had some very, and I won't give out like super specific details because I don't think that's cool, to do on air. You know, we can talk about stuff off air, but like on air, just being, you know, as frank as I possibly can. We had people that were really not okay with us being there, like really not okay with us being there. And, we had.
Yeah. You aggravated that demonic spirit to have a
hold. Well, we sure did, dude. We pissed them off, you know, let me say this one thing, Shel. When we went, there's a pastor, actually he lives 20 minutes from me, funny enough. But they work in exorcisms and all sorts of stuff like that. So it was, you know, the Lord knew what he's doing. And, it was really funny because he goes, you know, just, I don't remember what he said to me, but I told him, I go, no, man, I didn't come here to pick a fight. Not with any human anyway. I didn't come to pick a fight with any human. But I did come to rattle the gates of hell and the cages as much as I freaking can. That's what I came to do. And we already, like, even before we got there, somebody messaged me on YouTube. Is that what you're going to say?
No. Something else, but this makes me laugh.
Somebody messaged me on YouTube, and I had just said, hey, guys, I was talking to our followers. Hey, guys, just pray for us. You know, this is, you know, we're walking into enemy territory and this and that. And somebody messaged me back and said, enemy territory in Mineola? I live here. This is a God-fearing town. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I responded. I go, and I realized right away, I was like, And I said, look, we have no qualms with the physical place in Mineola, nor any of its people there or anything like that. But when you're in a paranormal place, You know, you're gonna find some conflict, whether you like it or not. You know,
I mean, that should be a duh moment. People are gonna use what they
want. I know, but people are gonna use what they want and say what they want. You know?
And I think that they really expected us to come in and cause problems.
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Yeah, I think they did too.
And I mean, we
I think
went
it
there.
Actually made them more irritated. I think it made them more irritated that we didn't show up to cause problems. That we were super friendly, loving on people, like even like getting in with the actual founder of the Paracon. And I was like, dude, can I get a picture with you? And he was like, I think he was like weirded out. Like, do you want a picture with me? I was like, absolutely. Why wouldn't I want a picture with you? This is freaking cool. I get to come to your Paracon. See, like, what the heck? You
know? They thought we came in looking for enemies, but we knew who the enemies were, and they're not the people. Right.
They thought you were traditional Christians coming in there to beat them on the head with the Bible and tell them they're all sinners and going to hell.
So yeah, and
they sure
and
did.
There was. I mean, I'll be straight up there. Was warfare going on? Never ever felt the spirit realm in real time the way I did on Saturday.
So palpably.
Ephesians 6:12.
Very.
Yeah, man.
Like,
yeah, no.
It was something else altogether, and I'm going to be careful here what I say, but there was plenty of, hey, who are you? Hey, who are you? Cool. Let's switch cards and, you know, maybe we can have you on our podcast, that type of thing going on.
Hook up. Yeah.
And, one person switched cards with me in particular, and God had said, dude, be very careful, you guys, with what you accept, with who you let touch you, with what you touch. You know, you're in a place. There are things devoted to not God. And so, you know, and we took that very seriously. When I switched cards, yeah. though, I was aware of what was going on, but I wasn't quite as cautious as I had meant to be. And turns out God turns it around, because he's really amazing. And in this thing that was meant to be accursed now is a license. It's now a license for me to pray for this individual. And God has really put in my heart that he wants this individual in his kingdom. And so this dude didn't know it, but when he gave me his card, he gave me authority to pray over his life, like literally license. It's when I look at it, I have it in my wallet, and like I'll pull it out, and I like showed people when I was telling my friends about our experiences, but I won't let anybody else touch it. because I know that God turned it around, but he turned it around for me to use it to remember this individual, to keep praying for them. And that is what we went there to do. We went there to not play around in the physical world. I mean, obviously we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. That's how we react in the world. But there was so much more than that this weekend. And it was so very, very interesting.
It was a really cool experience. You know, and there is one thing that I want to mention. Again, not going to name any names or anything like that, because that's not even relevant for the case. But going back to what you were saying, Justin, that they thought we were these traditional Bible thumping, you know, I'm going to bring the word of God and tell you how it is kind of Christians. That's not necessary. We don't need to do that. You know, we would already made everybody real, real on edge just how we were, because just like you said, you know, you're rattling the spirits. And, when we were presenting about the Nephilim and demons, and just giving a basic overlay. As for us, four dragons, who finished a full talk in like 35 minutes, it was really rough.
We deserve prize. I am sane.
That's right. I think one of those dragons died on the way home. So when we were right in the middle of it, somebody from the crowd like walks up. Like we're like in a theater type setting, a small theater, like from the twenties, like way back. And this person like starts walking up towards the stage as we're presenting, but kind of like, you know, there's walking up towards the stage, and then there's like decisively walking up towards the stage.
Intent.
And it was very decisive.
With
intent. And yeah. And both Shelly and I were like, I was kind of like eyeballing her, like while she, or I don't know who was talking, but I was like, oh, you see this over here? And then I think I said that, you know, but the most common word for demon was not Shadim. It was Tamanufal, which is literally means dead Nephilim, means a dead Nephal. And then we went on and those, you know, from the flood and from this and that, you know, that those are, you know, those are demons. They're dead Nephilim, you know.
We were breaking Nephilim down spirits. Definitions.
Right. And so, and this person did like a 180 and was like, okay. And I realized like, oh, this person thought that we didn't get it.
He thought that,
like,
we were going to say that the fallen angels were demons, and he was going to let us know that it's not the case.
And so it was very funny because we saw that. I think that probably upset a lot of presuppositions about how we brought the gospel and how we brought what we were talking about, right? Because
they're not the average dumb Christian.
Correct. You're not the average, I hate to say this, but it's true. You're not the average American
Christian.
It is
true. You're not the average dumb Christian. Most Christians are 50, 60-year-old Christians still sucking from the bottle. Still drinking milk every Sunday.
Somebody else to cut up their meal for them, right? I mean, it's true.
They're mushed vegetables. Yeah.
And that's why we do what we do.
It is.
I mean, honestly.
Absolutely. That's what
those people are, why we do what we do.
They are, man. And it was very cool because I guess I'll just share this last part that I really wanted to get out. It was very cool because somebody asked us at this conference. It's a very small conference, by the way. And it was even smaller because it was raining all day.
Poured down, man.
I think that was probably a mercy because we are not used to this kind of speaking engagement. It's totally new to us. You know, it's not podcast form. Podcasting is very different from doing like a structured 30 to 45 minutes
in front of a live audience.
Like that's super different. Yeah. And, but one of the people came up at the end, and asked us about the Divine Council. And Shell like went off like, no, yeah, I absolutely, because they wanted to know, you know, we've given a lot of the negative, but what, you know, what is there positive about the Divine Council?
About the gods.
And, Shell, you know, she gave really good response. I watched it 3 or 4 times and I still can't remember everything she said off the top of my head.
I just remember none of it right now. I remember none.
No, I don't either. I'm like, the only thing I remember, and the only reason I remember, is because literally the Holy Spirit took hold of me. It was the very last thing that we said on stage.
So
and
cool.
It was like, it was crazy because it was really cool.
First,
because
we had time left over.
Which was amazing.
Astonishing.
That was amazing in and of itself, right? But then Shelly said something about the Divine Council, and I said, and piggybacking off of that, Shell, the Divine Council is important because when we lost our status before God by sinning, God gave us a mercy by removing the tree of life, removing us from the garden. Because if we were to eat from the tree of life after we had sinned, after we had been in discommunion with him, we would be in the same eternity, in the same problem that all our angelic older brothers are. We wouldn't have any place for redemption. And I go, so it was a kindness that God did that for us. He removed us from the garden so that we could be redeemed by his son, long story short, so that Jesus, when Jesus comes back, gives his life for us. We do need but ask our Lord and Savior to forgive us of our sins, to receive him, follow him, and then what awaits us when the veil is moved back and the end of the age is finally over, we will once again sit on the divine council. And I just gave the gospel like right in the middle of the paracon. It was so unexpected.
It was the Holy Spirit, phenomenal.
It was awesome. You could feel
that that was the stirring of the Holy Ghost because it was not something we had planned. Like we were super worried that we weren't going to get in under time at all.
Yeah.
And God, like, man, he brought it. But one of the things that Benny, my pastor, was saying last night, he goes, did you notice how like we had a force field around us, and everywhere we walked, like people would just like move out of the way.
People would not come talk to us.
They would just move out of the way. He said it was a very interesting thing that he noticed. And my pastor, like any good pastor, is very, very outgoing. He is 172% extroverted. And people would talk to him. They'd be like, hey, pastor, could I ask you a question about this? Hey, pastor, come over here with us. We wanted to talk to you about this thing. And so Benny would go and talk with them. And he talked with this one guy, and he would correct the dude's theology whenever he would, you know, twist the word. To suit himself. And Benny'd be like, no, it's not that way. It's this. Mm-hmm. And then the guy would be all like, oh, well, change the subject really quick. Or, oh, well, I think I need to leave. And then I'll linger on and talk a little bit more. And then the guy leaves and he comes back and same thing. You know, Benny is like, yeah, I'm not going to not speak the truth. And Benny was like, oh, I made that guy so uncomfortable. I feel so bad. You know, I really. And then we hear from, Alan. Alan is like, yeah, and so guy really was hoping he could have spent a little bit more time talking with your pastor. And I was just like, how funny is that, man, that Benny talked to more people one-on-one there than probably Ricky and I together did.
He probably shared the gospel more in just the way he was, the way he shared with people and talked with people.
Listen to them.
And all the other three of us there with him combined, man. I mean, it was really cool. It was really, really cool.
It was really amazing to watch God do what he did. Like,
and the funniest thing was, we were on our guard, you know, just because we knew. Oh, and I didn't even tell you guys this. My wife, the day before we spoke, a friend of ours had given us this word. Hey, don't, you know, be careful what you accept. Be careful what you eat. Be careful. I mean, things we all know, right? But my wife, the night before we spoke, I had already gone to sleep. And when I woke up, I read her text message. She goes, I drove to the grocery store the other day. And the Lord stopped me and said, hey, tell your husband to be careful what he accepts and who lays their hand on them. And I was like, oh, wow. So I read it and I was like, oh, man, the Lord is really like really guiding us. He's really telling us exactly what he wants to do. He's driving the point home. He's trying to make a good point there. But I gotta be honest, more than anything, I wasn't so nervous about all that. I was nervous that we weren't going to hit all our time points. I was a little nervous for the other, but mostly I was just like, dude, I just hope we do a good job, that we're concise, that we get exactly in what we need to say and this and that. I had such a peace, like just a massive, massive peace while we were there. I didn't feel like, you know, sometimes you go to an event and you feel kind of small and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to huddle in the corner here and this is an awkward event or I don't really fit in here. I didn't feel that way. I didn't have to like flex, but at the same time, I just was.
Didn't have to. I think we were all just
really relaxed. Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool.
I think that shows, though, the whole important thing is that God's going to take us out of our comfort zone. We are never, ever
absolutely
supposed to be like, oh, this is easy.
Right.
That's just not what happens. You know, God's going to take us out of our comfort zone. He's going to put us into places where we can preach that gospel. We can say those things. And I think it's amazing and awesome that your pastor came along
and to
show that, you know, yes, we believe in the supernatural too, but it talks about it in the Bible. It's biblical. It's truth, but it's been corrupted into what most of the people at that Paracon probably believed.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome to see people like you guys. Awesome to see somebody like your pastor who is willing to go outside of what we would call our Christian comfort zone.
It was 100% really worth
spread
it.
Spread the word.
Let me just say, it was so worth it. It was the return was way, way better than the pay in.
And we had multiple obstacles to going. One of the things I didn't even tell you, my wife was very opposed. She was like, no, I don't want you going to that. Like, no, you guys got to remember, my wife is from a third world country. And I mean, shamanism is like the word of the day. When you walk downtown, like there's people all decked out in Aztec warrior garb and like they're doing seances and stuff. I mean, that's like the norm, you know, that's the norm in Mexico City or in Mexico in general. And I, you know, Shelly and I were praying about it. And I like, you know, I'm not trying to air my wife's dirty laundry. It's not what I'm going at here. I'm actually going to a really cool place with it because Shelly and I had been talking about it. We've been praying about it. And, I talked to my pastor when this first went down and I go, hey man, we've been invited to this thing. We're going to do this and that. And he goes, really? I go, yeah. We've been invited. He goes, man, I really want to see if you guys record it. I really want to see. You're going to do it live? I was like, well, we're going to record it. He's like, I really want to see it. I really want to see what happens. Like, I want to see it for myself. Absolutely. Yeah, you can totally watch it. And I talked to my wife and she goes, well, what did the pastor say? I go, actually, the pastor wants to watch and see what happens. She goes, really? I go, yeah. She was like, okay. She was super uncomfortable. But what happened literally like the Wednesday before we went, every Wednesday after church, we hang out and one of the assistant pastors, she's always there just chilling with us, chatting with us and stuff. And, we just kind of enjoy our Wednesday evenings. You know, we go to In-N-Out. I don't know if you guys have In-N-Out in Tennessee. I don't think so, but if you don't, you should visit one when you get a chance. And, it's usually our sit down spot. And I just was sharing about, you know, the fact that we're going and this and that. And my wife, who had not told me any of this, just starts opening up because this is her buddy. And goes, yeah, but the Lord, I just realized that the Lord was saying, like, all people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. They deserve to. And I turn around, like, as she's explaining to her, I'm like, when were you going to freaking tell me so that I could have some peace about you having peace about it? Like, and she's like, well, I don't really have peace. I'm just being obedient.
I get
like,
that. Wow. Man, I get that. It's, and so often that's how it is. Obedience is the key. Not understanding.
Yeah, man.
Not twisting it our way. Obedience is the key. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me.
You will obey me.
It's
It's not a threat, you know, it's a consequential thing. Like if you love me, like if you obey me, sorry, if you love me, then obedience comes part and parcel. Like you don't have to force it. Like it should be a natural.
And even though obedience is when you're walking in it in the moment, it maybe is not great. You know, doesn't feel good. You're giving something up. You're doing something you don't want to do. Whatever. You know, we all know what it's like to have to be obedient. But it's all ways worth it. It's always worth it. Afterwards you're like, oh, why was I dumb? You know, or maybe you guys aren't, but I am like frequently. I'm like, I don't want to do it that way, God. Then I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then I'm like, oh, you're so stupid, Shelly. That was such a good thing. Like being obedient makes your life easier. It just does. Yeah,
it does. Doesn't feel like it in the moment usually, but yeah. So man, we hope that we said, I told George, I gave him a big hug before we took off and I said, hey man,
we'll be happy to come back.
Thank you guys for so much for inviting us. I hope that we can come back. You know, I'd love it. He's like, did you have fun? I go, I had a blast, dude. Thank you so much for inviting us. This was really, really awesome. And I mean it. I really do mean it. Like, I would go back in a heartbeat. I don't care how small the town is. I would love to go back in a heartbeat because these are people that you start building a legit like rapport with, like a legit relationship, you know? And Alan gave us really cool feedback. He goes, yeah, man, I know that we had a diverse cast there. He's like, but I really feel like everybody I talked to, even though it was a smaller crowd than normal, they said that they had a lot of fun, like that it was one of the best ones that they've ever had. And he goes, and I think that you guys being there really contributed to that. And you just don't know the doors that God's going to open if you don't walk through the first one, dude. You just don't know. Yeah.
Well, guys, we appreciate you obviously coming on. It's been a good talk. Let everybody know where they can find you, where they can listen to you guys. If any shameless plugs you want to put out there, feel free.
Sure. I'll give the plug since I let Shell get the opening. And I was like, take it, girl. I always do the opening, so it's time to change it up. As you guys can see, we are the CTDW, also known as the Christian Theological, and just for Steve. Dark web. Christian Theological Dark Web. And you guys can find us at solo.to/theCTDW. Why am I giving that plug? Because that has access to our Facebook, our Instagram, our TikTok. That'll get you onto our, what's the other one? I always forget, Shell. Our Twitter. We're on Twitter as well.
Also known as X now.
Also known as X, yes. We have merch at... Shameless plug again here. Check out Eli here. If you guys can see him off screen.
Eli, the CTDW guy.
Eli is our, he's our CTDW guy. He's our rep. He's our mascot. I got that idea from you, Jess. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, dude, Prometheus? That's freaking cool. We need a freaking mascot, man. Somebody to represent us. And so we got Eli. We will have the merch up pretty quick here. We do have a merch store on that site as well, that you guys can link to. You can find it directly from Facebook or from Instagram as well. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on anywhere that Rumble. Most podcasts are heard. We're even on Rumble. Check us out, man. Check us out. Come hit us up. And definitely check out the Dig Bible Podcast and Prometheus Lens Podcast, because you guys are leading the charge on some really important stuff, man. And we just, you know, I don't want to, we want to create a community.
It's such an honor to be part of this community. Like that, it's the stinking coolest thing. Who would have thought?
It really is. And that would be my final thought. We're a community. It's not anybody in the limelight. It's get out of the way so I can use you.
Right.
Moral of the story is God will use you. Get out of your own way, like you said. Yeah. And honestly, he's going to take you out of your comfort zone.
Comfort kills Christianity. I know everybody's like, they start persecuting the church, man, that'll be the best thing that happens to America.
Did you guys know? I don't know if you guys know. It's just a quick tidbit. The Chinese church has been praying for Americans to go through suffering for years. Did you know that?
I did not.
Now you know.
Well,
crazy stuff.
Everybody out there, thanks for listening. And as always, Justin.
Keep digging, baby.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Don't be like a county worker. Get in that hole and dig some. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and check out our YouTube channel. See ya.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the Handcrafted Audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.